who you are.
Yeah.
You are faithful. You're mighty, Lord God.
Yeah.
You're awesome. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You're the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God. You love us.
Yeah.
Cherish us. Follow you. We love it. You look at us as perfected, beautiful, blameless. We aren't cheap. We aren't sleepy. We aren't trash.
We're beautiful in the sight, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that today we'll begin a new journey in our hearts, Lord, by your word, that we'll see who you are and see who we are and see that you have made us just like you. You made us shine just like you. You've added that shine back into us, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. I thank you that you are the catalyst of our life. As it was said earlier, Lord, I thank you that we can be drunk in your presence. Without alcohol, Lord.
Come on.
We can be drunk on the revelation of your gospel, of your good news, Lord God. And even in that place, Lord God, we can grow in knowledge and understanding and stature like you did, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we're not on our own. We're not facing anything in life that you haven't faced. And we have authority and power over everything. Because you are everything. So, Father, we just thank you. We honor you. We worship you this morning. It's all about you, Jesus. And in turn, you say it's all about us. Because you died for us. And Father, we just trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's the good thing about having a smaller church. It doesn't take speakers to talk to y'all. Yeah, that just means, but we ain't gonna have to worry about nobody messing with those speakers when we got the keys, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm talking about before I get into it, I did want to take a moment and speak this word over y'all. So you guys can keep your eyes closed, actually. You can close your eyes again. Close your eyes again, guys. I promise I won't steal your change out your pocket. So Paul, in this, I'm gonna read this verse, but Paul was praying on the behalf of the Colossians church, and this is the prayer that he said, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. Amen. But the title of this message today is Christ's Roots, Knowing Your Position. you have a new family tree that you're a part of. You got your family tree. God instituted you into this earth through your family. But before your family was, he was. He is. That's what he told Moses. Before you were, I am. Before this world even existed, he was. You were already in the plans. You are already called to be in his family. No matter who you are. That's the good news. That's the mystery of this whole thing. Jesus was the culmination, the visual representation of the Father and the Father's heart towards him. That's why Jesus walked around, he did his thing. He healed people, he delivered people, set the captives free. What's the mission statement? He preached the gospel to the poor. Impoverishment is a mindset. So Jesus came to eradicate all of that and set you in a place of abundance. Abundance of love, abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of this earth in general. The knowledge, this knowledge that he's talking about in that blessing is the gospel, but understanding your position in God, in this family. This knowledge sets us free in our minds. Amen. This knowledge transforms our hearts towards people, towards God. And it transforms your heart towards God first, then you can be transformed towards people. Because, like you said, the enemy wants to keep you in a place of feeling alienated from God. And in that place, you can't be fruitful. It's impossible to produce fruit in that place, man. So he likes to keep us in our head, questioning who we are, questioning who he is, and in turn, you got crap. Lots and lots of crap. Just too much crap, man. So, as I said, the title of today is Christ's Roots and Know Your Position. Because you are in a good seat. You're in the best seat in the house. And God is not holding you out. God has no, he doesn't have a trap door of heaven where he's like, got his foot on there and you trying to, Lord, let me in. He hears your prayers.
Yes.
He knows, he hears the meditations of your heart is what the word says. So even when you can't find the words to say, he knows, he hears your heart crying out to him.
Come on.
You got that clicker.
It's not working.
You can go to the next. I just threw this joke in there. What is you believing, baby? Because, you know, as we always say, I know we say that, we preach that here adamantly, that your belief system is important, man. Our belief system is what drives us to God. It's what drives us through life. It's what drives us into the purpose of life. And, So that's a question that we got to ask every day. What am I going to believe today? And what am I going to believe about you today, Lord? And is what I'm believing consistent with what you're saying in your word? Because like you said, it's so easy to diverge from it. And that's how you increase in knowledge. Christ. He's the mystery is what this word says. So, wrong way. So what is you believing, baby? I already did this. But if y'all get time, check out Colossians 1:9-12.
Amen.
That's a verse that you should write down and just meditate on, because it's good, man. It's good for what your heart needs. You are a new translation of the Father's love. So when God sees you, when the earth sees you, and I'm not just talking about the people of the earth, I'm talking about the earth, all of creation. When it sees you, it translates you, it reads you. And when we receive Christ, it reads us as loved by the Father, as the beloved. And that's what this verse is saying. That's what we draw from this verse. It says, Colossians 1:12 through 14 says, and this is the Living Bible version. Always thankful. So this was that verse that I read, y'all. This is the first part of that. But always thankful to the Father who has made us fit to share all the wonderful things that belong to those who live in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
Who brought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. You've been translated, is what it says in the King James Version. You've been translated from darkness into light. And all that is saying is positionally, physically, emotionally, all of our being, body, soul, and spirit has been renewed. But see, what the carnal mind wants to keep us believing is it hasn't been. That we are alienated from God, and therefore nothing good can come from this fleshly body. Good works can't be produced out of this fleshly body. And it has to be preceded by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's how God connects with us. That's how God talks to us. That's where you hear that still, small voice. You know, when you're about to do something crazy and it's like, hey, man, hey. <You're> like,
right.
But see, the understanding your identity is what pushes you to follow that voice. Knowing who you are in Christ is imperative. You need it. When you don't have it, when you're not aware of it, you just do whatever you want to do. And sometimes whatever you want to do is not good. It can destroy you. And in turn, destroy other people. And so, as I said, the Father has made us fit to share all the wonderful things that belong to those who live in the kingdom of light. You guys are residents of the kingdom of light.
Thank you. Hey.
You got a crib there right now. Jesus didn't build.
Lavish.
But even right now, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
So keep your mind on things above and not things below. Walking in this awareness of, I can have everything that God has already given me manifesting in my life. But even beyond that, I can be a brand new person. I can walk in this new identity that he calls me. You're saying I'm your son, God? Jesus showed us what the son does, what a son of God does. And the beauty of that is he's in us, operating out of us, flowing through us. So that's what it's saying. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You don't have to have a dark day ever again in your life. You don't have to be in a drought ever again in your life.
Amen.
He gives us living water in the midst of a drought.
Amen.
So I ain't talking about a drought is nothing personal.
Yep.
Can you cause a drought?
Come on now, yep. Preach that.
Therefore, you're not connected to a drought.
That's good.
You're connected to the source of an oasis in the middle of a desert.
Oh, man.
you can have peace. You can have joy.
Yeah.
In the middle of chaos, people telling you this, your job going out of business, all of these things, circumstances, whatever the circumstance may be. I'm planted. I'm rooted. I got roots. I got Christ roots. I'm connected to the family. Not only am I connected to the family, this is a double entendre. I'm rooted in Christ. And in that place is life. Everything connected to that is fruit. It's fruitful. Everything connected to the oasis. It's fruitful.
That's good.
Wendell was talking about, this ain't a part of the message, but Wendell was talking about Wednesday. He was talking about how Jonah ran from God. As if you could get away from God. But Jonah ran from God. And even in the midst of his foolishness, God still covered him.
Yeah.
What's it called? The juniper?
Jennifer tree.
And like, dude was in the middle of the desert. Could have dried out.
Getting angry,
mad at God because he saved somebody. But we do that sometimes.
Yeah.
When we think it's us doing it. Yeah, that was a gem.
I caught it, brother.
Jesus is before we even believe. So, as I said, you know, you're a child of God. And even further, your roots are beyond just this physical earth. Your roots are seated in who he is. So, this verse kind of elaborates on that fact. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in the heavens and in the earth, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. That's why we sing that song, Jesus at the center of it all. He the thing, he the dude. He that dude, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is before all things, and in him all things are held together.
Yes.
The very foundations of this earth would crumble.
Yes.
Jesus turned the earth just that right way. So then the sunlight hit it, we don't get burned to death. All things in him all things are held together. He is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning. So he's the head of us. You know, we get all our orders from him. We should. Some people get their orders from them, but that's what having your identity. That's what having your identity steeped in him is important. Because the church has done a lot of crazy stuff over the years. And has tainted a lot of minds over the years because they were operating out of their righteousness. And not out of Christ. The firstborn from the dead. Jesus rose out of the grave. He was killed, but he rose out of the grave. He was the first to do that and instituted that for us. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. So everything starts, begins, and ends with Jesus. For all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on the earth, things in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So, essentially what that verse is saying, towards the end part, is nothing is out of his reach. Nothing is out of his grasp. No person is too far gone that they can't be reached by this love. No, nothing, no situation is too humongous. Jesus is the preeminence of all. He's not the author of evil, But he precedes evil and he overcomes evil. No matter what's trying to touch your life. It's a lot of things that want to take your stuff from you. That was preordained for you. He's the preeminence of all. Jesus, you are the preeminence of all. You are our peace of mind.
Yes.
And you, like you said, he made peace through the blood of the cross. So you've been reconciled, y'all. Mm. Say, I've been reconciled.
I've been reconciled.
You've been brought back to life.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He jumped into the water.
Ooh, good.
He ain't just sit there and throw you a little donut. He just throw you one of them and say, all right, grab on. Nah, he jumped in that sucker, pushed you out, and drowned, and then got up out that mug. Hallelujah. I said this is one of the most important statements in Scripture to me. This is my own personal opinion. But this is where the battle of the mind kind of happens the most. Where that's why it's important to have that understanding of I got roots in you, Jesus.
Amen.
Not in my past.
Amen.
Not in my past decisions that I've made out of self. My new roots. And you got to be rooted and grounded. Say that with me. Rooted and grounded in those roots.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the enemy wants to use circumstance, situations, stuff that you've been through, stuff that you've been in, stuff that you're going through right now, to hold you back from moving and progressing forward in him. Growing in that wisdom and stature like Jesus. Imagine if Jesus didn't grow in wisdom and stature and favor with man and God. We'd be done. But that's what the word says. Jesus had to grow up. He had to be a child, a baby, and grow into a man. He couldn't be like Adam. Adam was just a man. He just came in here and messed it up. But, you know what I'm saying? He just showed up. Like, hey, what's that? That's how he came in. That's how. But Jesus grew up in this thing. And he grew up in relation with God. He experienced God in every phase of your life. He experienced God in every phase of your life. Not just so he could relate, but so that he could live for you. So he can transfer his childhood, his life, his ministry to us. Like I said, the great exchange is all about him taking all of our sinfulness, all our mess, all our problems, all our insecurities, all of our failures, and exchanging it for all of his righteousness.
Amen.
All of his wholeness. This verse says, and this is Colossians 1:15-23 in the World English Bible. I tried to be diverse today, you know, because I found some good stuff, like good ways of how I said it. But you being in past times alienated and enemies in your mind. We're going to stop right there. And I think every time I get up here, I think I'll use this scripture, but it's good. It's that good.
Amen.
Because it puts in the context how we think. You've never been an enemy of God. Ever.
Wow.
Ever. To God. By God, from God. He ain't never said, I don't love you. Never. Even when Adam sinned, he came down to the garden. He's like, Adam, where you at? It was time to boogie. we, man, constructed this ideal and idea and reinforced that ideal as sin got more prevalent in the earth. That God isn't here. God doesn't hear us. God doesn't hear what I'm going through. God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't feel what I'm going through. It's a lie.
Right.
And it alienates us and makes us feel like enemies, even though we're not his enemy. And we say that I'm your enemy, God. I don't. That's why when Jesus, you know, when Jesus first met Peter, for instance, he was like, hey, cast your net. You gonna let me use your boat, cast your net. You finna get this blessing. Lord, huh? I'm a sinful man, Lord. I can't do that, but I'm gonna do it. And he did it, and he got, you know what I'm saying? He pulled up all the fishes.
Got them
So, being past time, alienated, and enemies in your mind, in your evil deeds. Yet now, he has reconciled you. There goes that word again. Say reconcile.
Reconcile.
He has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without defect, blameless before him. Know your position. Be rooted and grounded. Say that again. Rooted and grounded. I feel like an infomercial. He has reconciled you in the body of his flesh. So as Cora mentioned in that previous verse, he reconciled the entire earth creation before the earth in creation was even spoken into existence. Jesus was not plan B. He was not plan B. It was preordained before the foundation of this earth. If it is so that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the good news which you heard. So the good news is, he has rescued us out of the darkness and the gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, who bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. That's the foundation of life. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that nothing can separate me from your love, God. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. I say that loud. Nothing.
Nothing.
Amen. No height here. No height, no depth. Got on, Mom. So as I said, you got to continue in this. You continue in that thing every day. Amen. You come back to it. We got short-term memory loss. I know I forget. I be forgetting what I ate the other day. Like, so it's so easy for us to diverge in our minds. It's easy for us to walk in reconciliation or alienation. And that's where it ain't, it's no longer, you know, people have taken a scripture out of context about flesh and spirit. That, and it's rampant. But the reality is, like I said, the battle's in the mind. You are light. You have been translated to light. There is no more darkness in you. But you got to believe that. That's where the good news is hard for people to believe. Because it's like we looking at everything around us. You got to see yourself in faith, man. In faith, in the spirit.
Come on.
You can't relate to life in this physical. It'll rob you. Blind. beat you over the head, take your credit cards, your pocket change, your car is gonna steal your car. No, but it robs us of life, of peace, of joy, of the fruits of the Spirit. And then it divides our mind and causes us to feel like an enemy of God. Mm. Then it causes you to be in sin and act from the fruit, with the fruit of this thought process of I'm alienated from God.
Well, I might as well keep doing what I'm doing.
And that's where we get robbed of life. And we get placed and steeped in this evil mindset of us. And then we it's an antichrist thing. It's an antichrist thing because then we're like the cross didn't do it.
Come on.
That's antichrist. That's blatantly antichrist. The cross wasn't enough. And he said it was enough. What you gonna believe? What is you believing, baby? I always say trust the process. Trust the gospel process. And the gospel process is to believe.
Hey.
That's what Jesus said. He said, I ain't told you do nothing but believe in the one whom he has sent. Mm-hmm. Now the other stuff comes as fruits of that belief.
There we go.
But belief is more than just giving assent in your mind. I'm gonna believe this. No, it's totally thrusting yourself completely. What's that test called? The Wendell, come up here.
The trust test.
I'm gonna show y'all how much I trust Wendell.
I give myself away, man.
I'm gonna show y'all how much I trust Wendell. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The gospel. That's a mentality. Because if I ain't trust Wendell, I'll be like,
did he catch me? Hey man, you gonna catch me, bro.
And like he was saying, like Wendell says all the time, you can't move forward and be looking in the rearview mirror. Cannot move forward and be looking in the mirror, rearview mirror. You gonna crash into something. But trust the gospel's process. As I said, the good news is that Jesus is over all of this. Yes. He owns all of this. And you're putting your trust in him. And what that does, wholeheartedly putting your trust in him, meaning, Lord, it's something of bro. What is it? But it's all in. It's bust without you. Go for broke. And in turn, when you go for broke with Jesus, he said you will not be ashamed.
Come on now.
That's the guarantee. Money back guarantee of this infomercial. Go all the way in. Just like a seed, you can't halfway plant a seed and think something gonna come up.
Come on.
If you do, you're a horrible farmer. You ain't right.
No corn.
The gospel process. I want their hearts. This is Colossians 2:11. And this is Paul talking still to the Colossian people. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love. That's the first part. It is a fruit of trusting in Christ. And we see it here in this church. Amen. We love on each other.
Yes.
We acknowledge each other's presence. We reach out to each other. Not even just in bad stuff, you know, but in the good stuff too. It's not a circumstance. It's not a circumstantial love.
Yeah.
Is what he's talking about. It's a joining together. Come here, bro. Come here. A joining together. Nah, other way. Other way. There you go. Joining together.
Squad.
Squad. I like that. Yeah, I wasn't even looking at that. Look at the Lord.
Squad.
It's same color too. Huh? Joined together in love so that we may have all the riches of assurance. We need each other.
Come on now.
You have something in you that helps me.
Come on now.
We need each other. It's the body of Christ. It's not the finger of Christ. What are you going to do with a finger on the ground? Not connected to a hand. Absolutely nothing. Nothing that's of purpose. It's just going to be sitting on the ground. Not moving. So that they may have all the riches of assured and understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery. Christ. Christ is in us.
Yeah.
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Mm.
Meaning, we need each other, y'all. This thing, the gospel does not work on its own.
Come on.
It works on you individually now. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying, but it works in this earth. It moves stuff in this earth with every heart working in sync.
Yes.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is in each and every one of you.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not divulgent from the Spirit of God. When you receive Jesus, you receive all of Jesus.
Yes.
The Spirit, the Father, and the Son, all of God. It's on the inside of us.
Come on.
Mm.
We reach into Christ because this is another part. As in an individual relationship, in relationship to God individually, we draw treasures. As it says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. So we're drawing from Him, but we draw from each other's individual experience with Him. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments.
Mm.
It goes back to that talk I just said. The Antichrist thought process spirit. It's a spirit. It's in the earth. It's been in the earth for a long time. It's not one individual person. It's a thought process. That Jesus and what he did is futile. It's a thought process.
Mm.
However, and that's a big however, it's still not more. It said, I love where it says in Romans, where sin abounded, grace abounds much more.
Amen.
Much more over. Meaning there is no level of sin, no level of sickness, no level of disease, no level of nothing that can abound over the grace of God, over the power of God, over the love of God.
Amen.
That's why we ain't got to be afraid of nothing. And when we do that trust thing with the gospel, you have dominion over every principality. It's like I said, it's a heart thing. As I said last time I was up here, perspective. It's all about your perspective on your position. Say rooted.
Rooted.
And ground. That's going to be the. We can make that into a dance. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. One of the other persuasive arguments is you ain't done enough to receive it.
That's a lie. He did it all so that you can receive it and that you can benefit from it. For I may be absent in body, this is Paul talking, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are and the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Same way you got it, the same way that you keep it. Same way that you got it is the same way you walk in it every day. And it's receiving.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You didn't have to jump through hoops to receive Jesus. Therefore, you don't have to jump through hoops to receive anything else from Jesus.
That's good.
You don't have to sit and carry for the Spirit to come down. The Spirit is inside of you. He's already present. You can invoke it. You can welcome him. He's not going to move unless you allow him to. In the sense of, Lord, take control. I give myself away. But everything has been given to you. Every spiritual blessing is what the word says. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. In the faith. That's not just your ability to believe. The faith is his faith that he was capable of doing this, that he was capable of reconciling the entire world. So you're believing upon what he's already accomplished. It's like you got the answers to the test. And they're the right answers. Ain't no, it's an open book test, really.
The answer's out.
It is out. What it say? Understanding and have knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. He's the answer, bruh.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is the answer to whatever ails you in life. I don't care what it is. Sickness, health. I mean, sick in sickness and in health, to death do you part. But just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude, built up in him and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. It's something about thanksgiving and gratitude that brings forth more. Because you're putting your heart in another climate where you're really trusting God. To be thankful for something is to say, I trust. Even if I'm talking about thankful before you see it.
Mm-hmm. Come on with that.
That's trust.
It's trust. Trust and
believe. Like, Lord, I know it's like an inheritance. You ain't seen physically, you don't physically see that you're gonna get some money from your peoples, but you know that they have set something up for you. And you know that it's yours to receive. That's, we have an inheritance.
Amen.
Yeah.
Being his children, we have an inheritance. So, once again, it says it twice, because this is important, y'all. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He said it twice. Because they basically... And then, and just to give y'all some historical background, they basically were saying that it was this thing called Gnosticism, and basically they were saying that everything physical was evil and everything spiritual was good. But Jesus came physically into this earth. So they were trying to basically discredit that Jesus came into this earth physically. And that was what this whole mentality that they was trying to instill in the church. You got to do this, this, and this. Traditions of man. You got to get circumcised before you can receive anything from God. Okay. So, based on the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Everything is in him. Everything you need. He's got what you need.
Amen.
and you have been filled by him. So not only is everything in him, the man with everything has given you everything. Chew on it. Who is the head over every ruler and authority? It says principalities and powers of darkness. You are above that. Your position is above demonic spirits. Mm-hmm. Your position is above crazy stuff they doing in the White House or the government. You still gotta adhere to authority because you're in this physical body, and that's what the word says. Mm-hmm. But still, your position, God can boost you above anything that an authority figure that is unjust is saying or doing to you, to oppress you. So, in that place, like I said, he's the head over all of it. He's above all of it. So, you're not stuck in a position where God can't reach you. Once again, you were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah. I said this before. We've been circumcised from sinfulness. We've been, as it said in the beginning, translated from darkness to light, from the kingdom of the devil to God's kingdom of light. He snipped that away. He buried that. That's in the sea forever. Gone. Darkness is in darkness. You are in light. Say that with me. Darkness is in darkness.
Darkness is in darkness.
I'm in light.
I'm in light.
That's what you're believing. What did you believe in, baby? That's what you believe in, baby. And in that place, knowing that you're in light, God doesn't, this is another thing, God doesn't put life in, put you in the light to expose you. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't cut the light on to expose you. He cuts the light on to love on you. Reveal you to what he sees in you. He sees light and life in you. He sees beauty. He sees a diamond and put it in the light. You know, when they appraise diamonds and stuff like that, they put it in the light and look through the, I don't know what the instrument's called. Nobody know that? Okay. And they look through the little instrument to see all of the different ways that the light is hitting the gem. And that's how they appraise the value of that specific gem. That's how God looks at you. He's looking to show you what he sees in you. So in turn, push you forward in life. So knowing his voice is a part of this walk. It's important to always key in to the understanding that he's for you. Like I said, it's often that circumstance, things people are saying, things that you're telling yourself sometimes even, can drive you and alienate your mind towards God. But you've been reconciled. Amen. Reconciliation is where your mind is, where the truth is. And this is something that John said in 1 John 4:13 through 17. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus was really on this earth. Jesus was really walking in this earth. And Jesus really overcame this earth.
Amen.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he in God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty plain. You in God if you receive him. And we have known and believed that the love that God given to us, God is love.
That's who he is. He ain't just something that he does. He don't just love you.
He gave himself totally to us. Mm-hmm. You can't have
real love and not have God in the midst of it.
Come on, man.
That's man love. That's man. That's human love.
That's what it is.
But God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. So you have love, but perfected love, perfect love, whole love, complete love, that love that brings joy in those moments where you should be feeling some other type of way.
Yeah.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Love is perfected when we are resting in the fact that God is for us. Mm-hmm. You're walking in perfect love and you are resting and, like I said, falling back into the understanding that, man, if it's not for you, Lord, it's a bust.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Amen. On judgment day, we sitting in the catbird seat, as my dad used to say. The catbird seat, you know, Tweety Bird used to sit on a little stick, yeah. And it's not so cats can't reach the bird.
Oh, that's good.
You're sitting on the catbird seat. So you can have a heart, that lion's heart, as we was talking about, as Wendell was talking about the last couple of Sundays. That mentality, that spirit of boldness, the spirit of God resident in you, coming out of you. Don't stifle it with foolishness. Don't stifle the gospel with foolishness. You got to drink the gospel straight up, and you will get drunk. Happy drunk.
Good drunk.
Stumbling drunk.
Blind stumbling drunk.
So
this is the last thought I want you to carry with you.
Oh, Jesus.
Because God is who he is, there is no point of existence of life that he doesn't touch or can't relate to us in. Him knowing us before we were fashioned in the womb isn't just some cliche Christianese statement that isn't steeped in truth. He knew you before you knew you was even constituted in your mama.
Yeah.
Instead, it is by this very thought process that we grow in knowledge and stature as our Savior Jesus did. He is our family tree. He is the root of our existence. He is our daddy. He's the author and the finisher of this faith. He's our dad. And that is all I have, people. How you pause this time?
Good enough. This is a great presentation.
Well, we all family here. I think. Okay. How you cut this thing off? It's gonna be all on the recording. I don't want to put the wrong button.